Well, today we're continuing in our series called Finding Joy. And in this series, we're walking through the book of Philippians, which is a letter the Apostle Paul wrote that's oftentimes known as the joy letter. And we're learning from Paul's example in this series how we can find joy no matter what. Speaking of joy, I wanted to share some incredible news with you coming from my family that has just brought us so much joy. Some of you may have already read online of the news, but on Saturday night, May 16th, my son Peyton and my daughter Kelsey both individually decided to place their faith in Jesus Christ. They decided to open up the gift of God's gift of salvation and to receive that in their lives. And it was awesome. And I have to tell you, they have been ready for a long time. They kind of got to a point where they were beating down the doors to say, "Daddy, we're ready to accept Jesus." But it was such a powerful moment, God-inspired moment. We had just come home from the lake, and we still had our swimsuits on, and right there in the living room floor, it brought me so much joy to get to pray with both of my kids as they trusted Jesus to be the Savior of their sins and the leader of their lives forever. And one of the cool things is Scripture tells us that there is a book of life in heaven that has people's names in it. And we can just rejoice and celebrate that two new names have been added to the book of life that's in heaven. Amen. And another thing I was telling them on that night when they gave their life to Jesus, it was so amazing. I told them, kids, you know, in Luke chapter 15, it tells us that when one person comes to know Jesus, when one person receives the gift of God's grace, that all of heaven goes crazy. The angels in heaven are rejoicing. And I said, tonight, you know what's happening? I told them, tonight, there is probably a wild, crazy celebration happening in heaven because there are now two new people who have been found in Jesus. And so I got to tell you, there is not a greater joy than getting to pray with your kids and to help them to enter into a relationship with Jesus. And I just want to say a quick word to the parents. Just want to speak to you. If you're a parent right now, I want you to know that you don't have to be a super Christian to lead your kids to Jesus. You don't have to have it all together to do that. In fact, I just want to encourage you to just keep investing in their faith daily. Pray with them and read Scripture with them. Keep bringing them to church as a part of their everyday, every week experience. And just keep talking about Jesus throughout your everyday life. Because what they need to know, and everybody needs to know, everybody needs to know, is Jesus real? And so our job as parents is to show our families that Jesus is real, that His love is real, and that Jesus can make a real impact in our real lives today. And if you're a parent, I just want you to remember that you are not alone, that you're not alone as you're leading your family, because God is with you. And our church family here is walking beside you. So today, as we jump into Philippians chapter 4, we're going to finish next week, but as we jump into Philippians chapter 4, I want to talk with you today about worry and anxiety. And as soon as I said the word worry, some of you immediately started to get anxious, didn't you? Some of you started to feel a little anxious. And it's because, I mean, how many of you know that worry can be a joy killer? How many of you know that that worry can rob you of joy? It's so funny. The worry just suddenly has some kind of power in our lives. Like, worry has the power to overtake our thoughts. It can cripple us from moving forward. And worry can suck out the joy and even the blessings of God in our lives if we'll let it. And so Paul is about to share with us the reason he's talking about worry here. He wants to show how you can overcome worry, because Paul knows that worry is one of the greatest barriers to us experiencing the joy Jesus wants us to have. Now, if we can be really honest together today, we are living in a season right now, a weird season right now, as we're living in Coronaville, you know? This is a weird season with so much uncertainty, and there are so many real reasons to worry. I mean, they're real, right? In fact, like, think about the future. Like, there is so much uncertainty right now about the future. And not just the far-off stuff in the future, but for so many of us, if you have any dates on the calendar in the immediate future. Like, everything kind of seems uncertain right now, on hold, unstable. And the problem is, when we feel out of control in our lives, worry and fear and anxiety, they start to take up residence in our lives. It's almost like worry has the ability to pack up its bags and move into your life like an uninvited guest. And so worry can cause things that are out of our control to control us. Like, things that we can't even do anything about suddenly have power over us. And that's why I think so many people have been crippled by worry in this season. So many of us have been crippled by worry in this season because this season is revealing something to us, is that none of us are in control, really. None of us were ever in control, really. But I believe one of the blessings of this season is that it's causing so many people all around the world to stop looking around at what's happening around their lives and to look up to heaven, to the God of heaven, to look up to the one who holds everyone and everything and the whole world in his hands. And so the blessing of seasons of uncertainty is that it finally causes people to stop looking around and start looking up. So with that said, we're going to jump into Philippians chapter 4. We're going to begin in verse 4. The Apostle Paul is writing this, and here's what he says. Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 4. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice," right? "Rejoice in the Lord always." Thanks, Paul, right? Like that's not super helpful. Just start rejoicing, right? Like, I would totally understand if the Apostle Paul were to say to us, "Rejoice when things are going really well. Rejoice when you just won the championship, when you got the girl or you got the guy, when you get the job, when you get what you've always wanted. Rejoice in the Lord." I get that. But Paul doesn't say that. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, 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 always." That means, man, even when I'm in situations where I am on the mountaintop, when I'm on a mountaintop experience in my life, that means rejoice in the Lord. That means even when I'm in seasons in the valley where I can't see how we're ever going to go up from here, rejoice in the Lord. That means even in seasons when we are filled with so many blessings of God that we can't hardly contain it. And even in seasons of scarcity where we never seem to have enough, Paul is saying, "I want you to choose to rejoice. I want you to rejoice in the Lord always." How many of you have ever been to a Christian bookstore before? You ever been to a Christian bookstore? I love going to Christian bookstores and looking around at all the books, and there's amazing people that work in so many of these bookstores. But I got to tell you, one time I walked into this Christian bookstore, and I'm a Christian, but it felt like everybody who was working there was either living on Mars or they were taking something, right? Like, it was like a scene from The Stepford Wives where everybody was just so happy and it just felt so weird, right? It was almost like if you knocked something over and broke it, knocked something over in the store, they would say, "Well, hey, brother, let me get that for you. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory to God," right? And it's like, I love God, but this is like, you're over the top, right? And everybody was just overly smiling and overly happy. And I love to smile. As Buddy the Elf says, smiling's my favorite, right? But it just felt so fake. It felt so cheesy. It was almost like they were reading a script from one of those cheesy Christian bumper stickers. And so you got to understand, when the Apostle Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always," he's not living in that kind of world. He's not living in this fake world that's distant and covering up his eyes on reality. In fact, when Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always," remember, he is standing in a prison, as a prisoner in Rome. And not only is prison bad because you have no freedom, you have no certainty of what's going to happen, but being a prisoner in Rome during that time, Nero was the leader in Rome. And Nero was notorious for killing Christians. And so Paul, everything around Paul was basically not good. Everything around Paul was reason to worry, because not only Not only was he in prison with no freedom, but at any moment, Paul could be killed. And yet the reason the Apostle Paul says rejoice in the Lord, it's different than just rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Paul says that because when you focus on the Lord changes your perspective. It's almost like you when you focus on the Lord, you stop looking around and figuring out how do you fix these situations, and you begin to look up and to realize that if I've got God, I've got everything. I've got everything. You know, when we're constantly worried about things in our lives, when we're constantly worried, it's hard to rejoice, isn't it? It's hard to rejoice. In fact, because worry makes us zoom in on our circumstances, right? I want you to think about your worry today like this, like a wad of chaos. This is just a wad of rubber bands, right? And it's chaotic, right? Picture your worry like a wad of chaos, right? What happens is so many of us, we zoom in when we're worried about something. We keep zooming in more and more and more and more and more on the problem in our life, on our circumstance. And what happens when you're zooming in on your circumstances, I mean, some of us even like, you know, we look at it and we dissect it and we try to solve it and fix it and we walk around it, right? And we're like, oh, I just gotta, if I could just get this figured out in my life and in my family and my job, if we could just work on this. And what happens is we keep zooming in and zooming in on the problem in our life. And what happens is eventually all we can see in front of us is this big wad of chaos that's our worry. All we can see is this big wad of chaos. And what happens is we lose perspective of who God is, of how big God is in relationship to this problem that's big to us but small to him, right? And so we zoom in so much and we lose perspective of how big God is, that God is with us, and we lose perspective of reality as we're trying to just fix this thing and this wad of chaos that's called our worry. And so you got to know, think about this. What is worry about really? Like, what is worry really? A lot of times people think that if you're worried, it's a lack of faith. But I want to tell you that worry is actually faith. It's just placing your faith in the wrong things. Worry is placing your faith in all the what ifs. Like, what if this happens? And what if that happens? And it's placing your faith in this thing, right? And like, oh, I got to fix this and I got to control this. And all the what if we don't make it in this season? It's placing our faith in those things. So worry is really about perspective, isn't it? It's our perspective of who God is and where we are and of reality around us. And so when we're constantly zooming in on our problems and the flaws and, you know, the bad things that are going on, eventually that's all we can see. And so here's the secret. Here's a secret of how we can find joy and how we can rejoice even in the middle of worry. Number one is this. Stop staring at your problems and look up to God. Stop staring at your problems and look up to God. Look up to God. It changes your focus. In fact, here's what the King David once said in Psalm 121 about that. He said, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? He says, my help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. See, when I stop zooming in on the problem in front of me and making it bigger sometimes in our mind than it really is, when I zoom out, I'm able to see how big God really is. That God has the power to have this, and God is big enough to have us. And so stop staring at your problems and look up to God. See, too often we let our joy change based on what's happening around us. Our joy changes based on what season we're in or what circumstance we go through. And so we start to say, well, if only things were like that instead of like this, right? If only I was there instead of here. If only I wasn't going through this, and God, if you could just remove this situation from my life, then I would have joy and I would have peace and everything would be okay, right? But the truth is, for so many of us, no matter how good things are in our lives, some of us would still struggle. We would still struggle to rejoice and to find joy even when things are going well. In fact, you may remember the famous character from Saturday Night Live, known as Debbie Downer. Debbie Downer is so funny. So, she could be in a group and everybody was either at Disney World or doing something really fun like a birthday party. Debbie Downer could find something wrong, or she could suck the joy out of even the best circumstances. Check it out. You know, sometimes worry can cause us to think and act a little bit like Debbie Downer. Like worry can cause us to suck the life and suck the joy out of even the good things that are happening. And that's why in our lives, we're never going to find joy and peace by zooming in on the problem and trying to fix it ourselves. Paul would say to us, no, the secret is you zoom out and you look up to God. So let's continue reading. Paul's going to tell us, here's how we do this. Verse 5, after he said, rejoice in the Lord always, here's what he says. He says, do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. Well, hold on, Paul. You just told us, don't worry, and now you're saying, or you told us, rejoice always, and now you're saying, don't worry, don't be anxious. Well, that doesn't work. He said, well, hold on. Here's what I'm saying. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Present your requests to God. See, here's the thing. What Paul shares here is a plan for how we can overcome worry in our lives, a plan that can apply to every situation in our lives, right? Every problem in our family, every money problem, every big decision, every time we can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, Paul says you can apply it to this situation. See, here's the thing. Paul, what he doesn't say is, don't worry, be happy, right? Don't worry, be happy, right? That's not what he's saying. That's not helpful, right? What Paul is saying instead is every time that you are overwhelmed with worry and anxiety, every time that you are tempted to go under because of your circumstances, here's what I want you to do instead. Here's what it is. Number two, I want to encourage you, number two, to replace your worry with prayer. Number two, replace your worry with prayer. In other words, like replace all the energy that you're spending worrying about this situation and trying to fix this situation, trying to bring your worry to God in prayer. Like bring it to God in prayer. And it's basically saying that this thing, this situation, whatever that is, here's the thing. Paul is saying, whose hands are you going to place this in? Like whose hands are you going to place this in? Because if you're always the one who's on the throne of every situation, trying to control it and trying to manage it and trying to, oh, I got to fix this, and oh, we stay up late at night trying to do spreadsheets and come up with plans and all these things. If you're always the one trying to control it, then what happens is the ball, this wad of chaos, is always in your hands. It's always in your hands. And so are you going to spend all your time trying to wrestle and control your situation, or are you willing to trust God? Are you willing to finally place this thing, whatever this is, in the hands of your heavenly Father? That's what Paul is saying. Paul says, bring your requests to God, which doesn't mean just lob a wimpy prayer up to God. God be with me. God help me. Right? That's not what he's saying. In fact, when he says, bring your requests to God, it's basically spend time with God in prayer, putting all your worry and your fear in his hands. And the word bring your request is basically the same word for reveal. Reveal your requests to God. Reveal what's on your heart to God. Not just the surface level stuff, but tell God why it's important. For instance, so many times it's like, God, would you just help my kid to pass this test right now? I'm so worried about this test that they're going to take. And God would say, is it really about a test? Like, what are you really worried about here? Is it really passing a test? And it's like, well, no, God, I guess I'm worried that they're going to fail the class. And it's like, okay, why are you worried about that? Well, I'm worried that if they fail the class, then there'll be a failure in life, and then I will fail, and I don't want to be a failure in my life, and you know, and I'm worried that their life won't have any meaning and significance. And God would say, now you're praying. That's what I want you to dig down on. Because he says, he's basically saying this, bring your requests to God, reveal those to God, means not just the surface level stuff, but keep praying until you reveal to God the deep down places in your life of what you're afraid of and how God can help you in those situations. And what you'll find if you keep digging, as you keep revealing deep down in your heart, God will often reveal to you places in your life, probably, where you're struggling to trust God. And so here's the thing. Paul says, I want you to keep praying until you can finally release control of this situation and your need to constantly try to fix it. Keep praying until you can truly put it in God's hands and walk away and understand that your Heavenly Father has this and He has you. And so let's continue reading verse 7. Here's what he says next. What's the result of this? What if we do this? He says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In other words, that's the result. If you'll bring your request to God and empty the deep places of your heart, of what you're worried about, to God, God will finally bring you peace. That's the result. In fact, how many of you have ever been in a really difficult situation, a difficult season in your life, and yet in the middle of that, you had incredible peace that didn't make sense? And you knew that peace only came from God. How many of you knew that? You know, I think what he says here is that the peace of God will guard your hearts. Like the peace of God, like when you pray, God's peace will stand guard like a soldier around your mind and around your heart and say, no, worry. You're not going to get in here. You're not going to get in here. And so the reason so many of us are filled with so much worry and anxiety is because we haven't really allowed our Heavenly Father to stand guard over our hearts and minds in those areas. Instead, what do? We try to be the one that stands guard and tries to take on our worries all alone. And so we just want God to stand guard over the surface level stuff in our lives. Like, God, I pray for my job, and I pray for our money, and I pray for my kids. And those are good prayers. But oftentimes, those are the surface level things. But God wants to stand guard over the deepest places of your heart and your mind. Here's the third thing I want to tell you about worry. Number 3, in times of uncertainty, keep praying until the peace comes. In times of uncertainty, keep praying until the peace comes. Like, don't stop praying after one time. Keep praying until you can finally trust God, not just with the surface level stuff, but with the deepest worries that lie beneath. You know, we're to stay on our hands and knees, not until God changes our situation, and not until all of a sudden the world around us has changed. But Paul says, I want you to pray until the peace comes. I want you to pray until the peace comes. Let's continue. We're going to finish up verse 8 and 9. Here's what he says next. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, Paul says, put it into practice, and the God of peace, there it is again, the God of peace will be with you. And so as you're praying, Paul says, I want you to also think about the things of God. I want you to think about the good things of God. Don't think all the time about all the what ifs. What if this happens and what if that happens, you know? Paul says, instead of filling your mind with all those things, I want you to fill your mind with the good things of God, right? Like whatever is true, he says. See, sometimes the things that we're worried about are not even true, right? So focus on whatever is true, whatever is noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable and praiseworthy things, things that God is doing that you can praise him for. Think about that. Because when you pray and when you fill your mind with the good things of God, the good things of God will often stay in your mind and come out in your life. And so friends, when life is uncertain, what's right and what's true here is that God has not fallen asleep at the wheel. What's true is that you can keep worrying if you want. I mean, you can keep zooming in on all your problems and trying to manage it yourself. Or you can pray. You can look up to heaven. You can give it to God. And you can pray until the peace comes. And so when you face uncertainty and difficulty and things in your life that are uncertain, I want you to know that a lot of times we'll get to the end of those seasons and a lot of us would say, man, I don't ever want to go through that again. But I imagine that a lot of us, if we were to stand up here and tell our story, we might say, I went through that, but I would never change it. Because it's in those seasons of uncertainty and the things that I worried about that I truly learned what it means to truly trust my Heavenly Father. And maybe in that season and through that circumstance, I learned for the first time of the extent of God's great love for me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that nothing is too big for you. That everything that we're worried about in our lives, this wad of chaos, this circumstances around us, that nothing is too big for you. And God, today we just pray that you would give us the courage and the trust to be able to zoom out from our problems, from the tendency to try to control everything that's happening and all the situations in our life. And God, would you allow us to zoom out and to look up? Would you help us, God, to pray, to bring our requests to you, the deep down stuff, so that you can reveal in us ways that we can trust you in deeper ways. But God, I pray that you would help us to continue praying in the middle of difficult situations and uncertainty. You would help us to continue praying until the peace comes. Help us to continue praying. And in the middle of that, would you give us peace? And would you give us joy? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.